Hi, everybody. Let me turn down the volume here because I'm just about blowing myself out with that one earphone. Comfortable in this chair. I'm Merrill Louise, and the background sound you may be hearing is my in-house fountain, and the other sound you may hear is my rocking chair. It's an old chair. I found it in the attic of the First Lutheran Church's parsonage attic, and my father recovered the seat. And it's one of those high back chairs with a solid back and some scalloping across the top and some detail work around the edges and some dowels about halfway from the back down to the almost the seat of the chair, where there's another piece that's scalloped, and it creaks just wonderfully, as I think rocking chairs should. But that's not what I want to talk to you about, is either fountains or rocking chairs. I was upgrading using Brian Hargen's scripts for iTunes. The scripts are version 2.6, and the iTunes version is 6.0.3. And I was reading Brian's documentation, which I must say, the word beautiful comes to mind. Having tried to write programming documentation, and certainly having read a lot of bad documentation over the years, Brian's is a joy to read. And he was recommending setting up the views for the lists of music and podcasts and videos and whatever else you can put in iTunes. And so the directions were going to a particular menu, and he said, uncheck everything except artist and track. And I thought, well, what about the album? And what about which track in the album? And how many tracks there are on the album? And then there's the genre and the beats per minute. Oh, and there are all kinds of other curious checkboxes you can check. What about all that other information? And I thought about it some more and remembered how these tracks often get cut off. It's like any spreadsheet you've ever read. You can only have so much information on the screen before it cuts off. And so the fewer things you have on the screen, the more information you have about them. And that got me to thinking about music in general. Let me adjust this microphone again. Got me thinking about music in general. When I was a little girl, hello, Caitlin T. Dog. Yes, when I was a little girl, you were a little girl too, yes. You were much smaller then. Yes, you were much, much smaller when you were a little girl. There's that burp. There's that burp you wanted me to get up. You got it up all by yourself. You didn't need me. Yeah, you didn't need me to do that. Now, I would like to go back to recording this podcast. I would. Yeah, I appear to be doing nothing. Sitting in this chair, I appear to be doing nothing, which is an invitation for docs. Yes, it is an invitation that I am available to pet you. Well, let's see if I can pet you. And, yeah, well, What? You need a dog biscuit. You absolutely need one? Absolutely. You can't live without it. Certainly not. Okay. I will go over here and you'll get you one. I don't know if this is staying on the podcast or not, Caitlin. You're needing a biscuit. Yes, I think this is extortion. Blackmail, even. Insisting you need a biscuit while I'm trying to record a podcast. Well, here we go again. As a little girl, my father had 78 and a big phonograph that was actually a piece of furniture to play them. And 78s are thick and brittle and heavy, and they came in either stiff cardboard sleeves, or they came in books that would have all the 78s it was needed to play a longer piece of music. And there's a particular sound a 78 record, a 78 RPM record makes. And I know that there's a lot of remastering being done of the old songs and so forth, but that sound is still there. I went to the iTunes music store in search of a track of Frank Sinatra singing Without a Song. He was fairly young when he recorded that. His voice sounds very different than the later Sinatra. And I knew it was one of the original cuts, because when I played it, even on iTunes, I could hear that very familiar 78 RPM sound, along with the muted horns and just the whole feel of an old recording. And I guess when I was growing up, that must be how music sounded. We had tinny AM transistor radios that were all the rage. And it was only later that FM came along and stereo. Our LPs were monaural. I still have the first LP I ever bought in vinyl, Pat Boone singing Christmas songs. And I remember buying it with my father with some money I had gotten for Christmas. And we went into the stationery store in the Princeton Shopping Center in Princeton, New Jersey. And we were searching through the Christmas music, trying to find an album that contained both songs like Here Comes Santa Claus and White Christmas, Jingle Bells, I think, is also on that album. Songs like that. And carols like O Holy Night and Joy to the World and Silent Night. And that was the album that had both. So that was the album I bought. And that began many years of album buying, and I still have most of them, and still have managed to have a turntable on which to play them. I haven't gotten up the nerve and the time to work out how to transfer that sound into my computer, and if someone would like to volunteer to do a podcast on that, I would be grateful. along came 8-track and cassette, and I have some cassette music, but I was always suspicious of cassettes. The tape is so fine, and it does break. And so I stayed with albums, and probably just didn't buy much music in those days. And then CDs came along, and I had less money. And eventually I got a player that I could play them on. And I started to buy some CDs. But still, that's an album-based medium. And it was kind of exciting. You got more than your 5 songs per side. You could get 16 and 20 and even more tracks on your CD. It was being very, very rich to have CDs. Well, last summer I made the plunge and I bought myself an iPod Shuffle and I installed iTunes and I learned how to rip my CDs. Later I learned how to download music from emusic.com, emusic.com. Very accessible site. And again, I was still thinking in terms of albums. What albums did they have? But you only get so many songs, not so many albums, so many songs when you subscribe to eMusic. And I discovered I had to pick and choose. And it is sort of curious when you rip music or download music, you still get folders with albums on them. It's artist, album, and then track in those layers. And then I started to buy music in iTunes. I haven't bought a lot of music, but over 20 songs. And that's very track-based. And the truth is that I can put music on my iPod that way, too. It's by track. You know, and so you're holding this shuffle in your hand that hardly weighs a thing and is very, very tiny. It fits in the palm of your hand. I guess the Nano, I haven't held on to a Nano, but it's supposed to be even smaller. So holding the shuffle, you have a ring and a button, and you press the sides of the ring, and you can back up by track, and you can move forward by track. And it's, although not black in color, the shuffle is a black box. You can shuffle, or you can autofill, or you can just know what's on it, but you press these buttons, and music arrives in your earbuds or over your speakers. And the notion of album dissolves. And so when I was setting up this view in iTunes that only had artist and track name, I began to wonder about the whole concept of album. And is that a concept that will go away? Are we almost back to the world of the 78? And was that true of cylinders that played when you had a phonograph that you had a crank on? Was it one song per cylinder that, you know, spun? With those wax discs, one song per disc? And is our infatuation with the MP3 player really going back to that other time? And how will we think of music in the future? One of the things I've noticed in conversations about what sort of MP3 player to get really has to do with your philosophy about using it. Is it your primary storage for your music? In that case, you need 40 and 60 and 80 and probably bigger and bigger and bigger units, at least bigger in the sense of how much memory they have, to store your music, because you're sort of carrying your, well, not sort of, you're really carrying your library around in your pocket. Or is it just the vehicle for playing your music? So nowadays, I put anything I want to play on my shuffle on the computer, and I walk over to where I have a set of speakers, and I plug in my iPod, and I press the button, and I have music. It's like having my own stereo, only it's a set of speakers and an iPod shuffle. So those are my thoughts for today, and I just thought I would share them with other Blind Cool Tech listeners. If you would like to email me, you can do so by emailing Merrill, M-E-R-R-I-L-L, Louise, at gmail.com. You can also listen to my regular podcast, which is Pastor Merrill Louise's podcast, and the feed for that is http://Merrill, M-E-R-R-I-L-L, .libsyn.com/RSS. And if you leave the RSS off, that will bring you to the web page where the individual podcasts are listed, and some show notes. I'm somewhat behind in getting show notes up in a blog form on that site. So here's wishing that you have a pleasant day. You're laying on the recorder, Caitlin T. Dog.